see you move. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Jim Donovan back with Matt Wilhelm on this Monday here in Berea. Just watched Kevin Mack walk by. And
looks great, man.
Kevin Mack looks like he could
I want to be
play.
That lean when I'm...
I'm telling you, he looks fantastic.
What, 45?
Is he 45 years old? I don't know. We should go out and ask.
We should. We'll bring him in soon.
He is terrific. Gosh, he looks terrific. Okay, we're going to go to our Ohio Business Machines telephone line right now and our celebrity guest line. Scott Petrak joins us right now from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and a many-time guest on the WKYC Sunday Night Browns Tonight Show. Scott, welcome.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you what. You are on Channel 3, I think now, more than I am on Channel 3. And when Betsy Kling, the weather person, the chief meteorologist, goes on maternity leave in the next couple of weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if they ask you if you can whip out a seven-day forecast. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to have to work on my meteorology then.
Scott, you were there. You were at the Home and Garden Show, exactly I know where you wanted to be, on Saturday. And there is Brian Hoyer. And we just listened to his press conference, in totality. We listened to the whole press conference that he had with you guys. What did you think? What was your takeaway from your meeting with him?
Yeah, I thought the most interesting thing was that he said that all the text investigation and the fact that Kyle Shanahan left because of, differences with the front office, that could affect Brian Hoyer's decision whether or not to return. We had not talked to him since Kyle Shanahan had left and since the text stuff became public. So I thought that was interesting that he said that it would affect it. He didn't say it would determine it, but I thought that was an interesting angle.
Scott, one of our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day are what are the odds that you put on Brian Hoyer returning to the Browns? So I pose that question to you. What are the odds after everything that you heard in that 15 minutes plus spent with Brian Hoyer, and I know he diverted to his agent on the market, but what are the odds that you put on Brian Hoyer being in a Browns uniform this year?
You know what? I think I probably disagree with the majority of people, but I still think it's above 50%. Not greatly above, but maybe 55, 45 that he returns. I think it's a good fit for both sides, the fact that he's from here, that he lives here. I know convenience, he said, is not going to be his priority, but I think it's a good fit. And I think that Mike Pettine has a level of trust with Hoyer. I know how it ended and how he was benched and how he played poorly before he was benched for those last four games. But I think Mike Pettine feels he can win with Brian Hoyer because he won seven games out of the first 11 with him. So I would give it slightly better than 50-50.
All right, I want to go back to your first answer, the one about Shanahan really being a factor in his decision. Would that then tell you that he is of the belief that Shanahan did not want to take him out?
You know what? I think it has more to do with the fact that Shanahan felt that the coaching staff, or maybe him in particular, wasn't supported by the front office. That, they fight between the front office and the coaches. They have discussions or fights or conflicts about personnel. And I think there's a feeling that the coaching staff's beliefs weren't always supported. And I'm sure that Brian thinks part of that is him being benched, and I think he's probably right. I think there were segments of the organization, I don't know if it's Ray Farmer or higher than Ray Farmer, guys on the business side, that wanted to see what Johnny could do. And part of that makes sense because he was a number 22 pick. But I think that Brian's camp feels that Brian was unnecessarily kind of the fall guy for that. And then obviously it didn't pan out with Johnny's struggle.
Scott, I'm a firm believer that competition drives the best performance, and I believe that the competition in the quarterback room here in Cleveland is going to ultimately weigh in and weigh out who deserves to start for the Cleveland Browns. If, in fact, Brian Hoyer comes back, he has stated that he wants to be the starter wherever he goes, and he doesn't want to have to compete for his position. But that being said, Johnny Manziel is riding his mental ship right now in treatment somewhere. Hopefully he gets on the football bandwagon sooner than later, becomes a viable resource at the quarterback position. We may, in fact, add through free agency and or the draft at quarterback with Brian Hoyer here. Is that something that's still tempting for him to come back to Cleveland, or is he banking on himself that he can win out that position?
Well, you know what? I think Brian would argue with you that he's not afraid of competition. Not only not afraid, I don't think he expects to be handed a starting job somewhere in the league. Obviously, that would be ideal if somebody came, you know, when free agency starts and says, yeah, Brian, you're going to enter camp as our number one guy. I don't know how realistic that is. To me, it seems that pretty much anywhere he goes, either he will have to fend off a draft pick or another veteran guy. You know, he said it, and he said it before, that he would be fine coming back to battle whoever it is here as long as he's given a shot to be the starter. And that includes Johnny Manziel. You know, Saturday he said, I beat out Johnny once. He goes, I think I can do it again. So I think he's open for that challenge. He just needs to trust that whatever front office and whatever coaching staff he winds up with is going to give him a legitimate chance to win that starting job.
Scott, take Cleveland out of the mix, okay? Let's eliminate the Browns. Where would you see the market being for him to be a starter? Who would come in and offer him, you know, in free agency come March 10th, an opportunity not only to sign with them, but to say, you're our guy?
Yeah, you know what, Jim? I don't know if there's a sure answer for that. You know, Buffalo seemed like a possibility, but now the GM wants to go with E.J. Manuel. Houston, you got the Bill O'Brien connection. I don't know how much Bill O'Brien loves him. I think Houston might search other avenues to find their guy. You know, maybe in Arizona, because you don't know what's going to happen with Carson Palmer's injury history.
Right.
I could see that as a spot. But there's not a whole lot of spots where teams are willing to just say, okay, you're our guy to a veteran that doesn't have a huge track record.
Yeah.
You know, I think Brian's going to have to go to a spot where he can compete, whether it's an E.J. Manuel type or you throw him in the mix in Houston, or maybe throw him in the mix in Tennessee where you have Zach Mettenberger coming back, but he didn't really prove himself. That seems to me more of a likely landing spot for Brian.
So, Scott, to piggyback Jim's last question, and I'm going to add Cleveland back into the mix. And I believe, as you said, he's going to go compete somewhere, but because he's most familiar here with these coaches, him and Coach Pettine, you know, won 7 games together, they have that trust. But do you also feel that this might be the best opportunity for him to make the most money as well in the open market?
You know what? I think he's going to get the same money regardless of where he goes. You know, that each situation is going to be similar with incentives. Okay, if you start, whatever, 10 games and you win 8 games, it bumps up another million. I think that's the kind of contract he's going to have to get. I know that his side is looking for something pretty long-term, whether that's 3 or 4 years. You know, they want some stability. They want some guaranteed money up front. And I think if Cleveland is willing to offer the similar dollars, then I think it makes sense for him to come back. I know you got to change a coordinator, but the system will be somewhat similar. I know John DeFilippo said he doesn't want to come in and overhaul everything. He wants to use what the guys are used to and familiar with. So, you know, Brian has a comfort level here. He has a comfort level with Mike Pettine. He has a comfort level with some of the receivers. So from all those aspects, it seems like staying put could be the best situation for him and the Browns.
Well, I'll tell you what, you take a look at the situation for Brian. Scott, does he play the Cleveland card well, or does he play it too much? Do you think it becomes something that the Browns like, or do you think it becomes something that the Browns, you know, have to fight the fact that he's from here? You know, because that entered into it a great deal. I mean, it entered into us being so patient to wait for him after the injury a year ago to Buffalo, was the fact that, you know, we love the fact that he played pretty well in those games, and we anticipated he would have played well that Thursday night until he went down and got hurt. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering if the hometown thing weighs on people the right way or the wrong way.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, Jimmy. I think the fan base is pretty much over it, especially when a guy struggles. You know, I mean, you look at LeBron, and everybody loves that because he's from here, but that's also because he's the best player on the planet. I think when Brian struggled, a lot of the fan base is like, fine, let's just start over. And I understand that. I think in the front office, you know, Ray, after the season, unsolicited, said, we don't care where the guy's from. We need to find a quarterback. And it seemed like it was a kind of a, you know, a shot at Brian that, you know, just because he's from here doesn't mean he's the right guy for the job. And Brian admits that. And I think it's a tough situation for Brian that he would, I mean, given, take everything out of the equation, he would rather play here. He's got a house here. His family's here.
Sure.
He grew up rooted to this team. It makes sense. But on the other hand, he doesn't want to be only the guy because he's from here. You know, I think he's got it easy because he's from here. You know, there's some negatives to playing where you're from. You know, you get a lot of involvement from friends and family, and people always bring that up. So I think it ran its course, but I think a new year might mean we're less inclined to talk about it as much.
Scott, again, discounting the Cleveland story that is Brian Hoyer, do you believe that he personally, if he comes back to Cleveland, has both the short and long-term ability to win consistently, make it to the playoffs, and ultimately, with Jimmy Haslam, Ray Farmer, and Mike Patton, their end goal of winning a Super Bowl and bringing a championship here to Cleveland? Does he have the ability, both in the short and long-term, to do so?
You know what? I believe he does. I think we saw enough in the first 11 games where he won 7 of them to say, okay, teams in the NFL, particularly the Browns, can win with Brian Hoyer. You know, I think he could win 10 games and take a team to the playoffs, given the right circumstances, the right roster around him, stability, the right offense, coaching staff, all those things, a good defense, a good running game. There's no, you know, I would never argue that Brian is a top 10 NFL quarterback, which means the search for a franchise guy can continue and should continue, because you should be striving to find that elite top five guy that takes you to the playoffs every year almost by himself. But having said all that, those guys don't fall off trees, and I think Brian can take you to the playoffs. And maybe more importantly, when you look at the landscape of quarterbacks, I think Brian matches up favorably with anybody who's available in free agency, almost anybody you could get in a trade. And if you don't get maybe the top one or two guys, and even we don't know for sure about some of those guys in the
draft,
that's
right,
question marks, he might be better than all those options.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how his story has shifted, because I think there was a lot of people thinking, you know, they should take him out near the end of the year. Maybe they should have taken him out earlier than they did. I mean, there were people thinking that. I mean, you know, there were a lot of people thinking that he should have been taken out, you know, after the, you know, certainly after the Buffalo game, that he wouldn't play the Indianapolis game. But he played that one last game. And then, you know, it's what's amazing, Scott, is that since the season has ended, his popularity has really
grown.
It's risen. I mean, you know what? I mean, people are comfortable with him again. You know, people who 5 weeks ago would have said, well, they got to get a quarterback, or they got to hope that Manziel is ready to go before we knew what was going on with Manziel, they would have never mentioned Hoyer any longer. It would have been, you know, he's going to go off into free agency. But this guy is now back in people's minds again. He's a real option to the fan base.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, Jimmy. And I think just some revisionist history, because when Patton finally made the move from Brian to Johnny before that Cincinnati game,
right,
nobody was saying stick with Brian Hoyer.
No.
Because he played poorly for four straight games, and I was as big a Hoyer supporter.
You know, Scott, the only guy that was saying it was Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, right.
He was the only guy saying stick with Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, no, you're right, you know. And I mean, maybe Joe Thomas or one of those guys.
Right.
But even he, you know, wanted to see what Johnny could do.
I agree.
You know, so I understood why Mike Patton made the move. And I know he was hesitant to make it, which is why he stuck with Brian for that Indianapolis game. Because Johnny was a giant unknown. And I think that's why it changed, because everybody saw how badly Johnny played. And he said, well, we know that Brian Hoyer was better than him for 11 weeks, and even when he played poorly against Indianapolis, it was better than Johnny played in his six quarters as a starter. So I think there's some comfort level and a trust factor. Like I mentioned with Patton, you kind of know what you're going to get with Brian Hoyer, and I also think that his poor play in those four games before he got benched, I think there were a lot of factors involved. You had the return of Josh Gordon, which, for whatever reason, sabotaged the offense. You had these outside pressures to play Johnny. You had the contract thought. I think those things weighed on Brian, and if you gave him a fresh start again, I think you'd see a better, more consistent Brian Hoyer.
All right, Scott, I'll tell you what. Well, hopefully you'll have a quiet week. I mean, last week certainly wasn't
right.
Quiet.
We need a break.
Huh? What do you think? Maybe a week where we
stay out of the news, can we?
Yeah, can we? Maybe just talk
about
you know, possibility of new uniforms, what they'll look like,
exactly.
Rather than
draft prospects, Cavs.
Rather than these social issues that we've been dealing with. Scott, thanks very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Always good to talk to Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. We have a historic moment coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Yes.
On the other side of the top of the hour, Tony Grossi
ESPN
will join Cleveland
Browns
analyst. Daily.
It'll be great.
Yeah. ESPNCleveland.com and the host of the wildly popular show, Hey Tony, every Tuesday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. on 1540 a.m. KNR2.
Does that mean we every time we ask him a question, we have to go, Hey Tony? He would
we'll,
like that.
We'll feed into his frenzy.
It's amazing how many people do. If you see him out at training camp, people will go, Hey, Tony, how you doing?
That's the birth of a name of a show.
It's great.
That's how it happens. Anyway, Jim Donovan along with Matt Wilhelm. Boy, that first hour flew by. Thanks to Scott Petrak for joining us. History coming on Cleveland Browns Daily. Tony Grossi on the other side of the break.